The new ratings are in, and thanks for keeping the Hot Talk Morning Show as the most listened to local talk show in the Grand Strand. We always brag that we have the best and brightest listeners on the beach, and you never let us down. Thanks again from Hot Talk 99.5.
All right, it's 9:06. It's the Hot Talk Morning Show along with Dave Priest and Joe Katz, and it is National Social Work Month, in case you're not aware of that. On the phone with us right now, we've got Angelo McLean, who's the CEO of the National Association of Social Workers. Angelo, hi. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, hi. It's good to join you.
Appreciate you being here. Now, during the pandemic, we talked about a lot of things and how people were affected. And I'm sure we'll talk about more about kids in just a second. But one of the things that I had heard, and being a social worker, when kids are at home rather than coming to school on a regular basis, that we might see an increase in the amount of physical abuse and even sexual abuse, because oftentimes teachers are like the front line of defense, first line of defense, as far as figuring out that something bad is going on at home. Did you see any uptick in those numbers during the pandemic or not?
Yeah, well, initially during the pandemic, we saw in some jurisdictions 30% to 50% decrease in calls, because as you're saying, the teachers and so forth, the mandated reporters, they weren't seeing the kids to make the reports. And then we've seen an increase, you know, sort of after that. The kids come into foster care as well.
Angelo, as we know, there are all sorts of shortages out there as far as workforce, and I'm sure social workers have been pushed to wit's end when it comes to their caseload and the way they go about following up and doing things necessary to make sure families and children are safe and in the best environment. Just to talk to us about sort of the role of a social worker for folks that may have never experienced it with someone in your line of work.
Yeah, well, during the pandemic, social workers have really been unsung heroes. You know, we've really heaped a lot of praise, and rightfully so, on first responders, nurses, doctors, and EMT, but social workers have been right out there with them. Child welfare social workers, they had to keep doing their work, keep making their home visits, keep protecting kids and helping strengthen families. And then, clinical associates working in mental health, they had to keep doing their work, and some of that work was done remotely, and some of it was done, on site. So, typically social workers, in terms of, what we do, we do what's needed to help people have the best quality of life they can have, and whether that means sort of shoring up the social safety net or helping them, reach their ultimate goals, whether it's career or in life. But we're in places you wouldn't think of, like libraries, businesses, schools, mental health clinics, and child welfare settings as well.
Now, as far as people who need help that are out there, a lot of people have their head in the sand and say, those kind of things don't happen in my neighborhood. We don't have anybody who's in poverty. We don't need to have anybody around here who needs help. What do you say to people who think that, hey, it can't happen here because that's just not our kind of neighborhood?
Living on this planet is tough for all of us, and we all go through life struggles. And, some of us are privileged enough to not have to worry about, poverty. But even those who aren't in poverty and still have life struggles, we all experience pain, death, and we experience frustrations in trying to, live the kind of life we want to live. And we work with people. I mentioned the word struggle and probably mentioned that word intentionally. We work with people who are struggling with trying to make it in life, and sometimes that struggle is trying to get your high school education or your master's degree, or sometimes that struggle is trying to put food on your table. But we work with people when they're struggling, and then if someone's suffering, and that's where we have to come in and say, we'll struggle right there with you, but if you're suffering, we need to get you some immediate help, and so we can stop that suffering and pain.
Angelo McLean is the president of the National Association of Social Workers, and more than 700,000, I should say, social workers, of course, have played a vital role, as Angelo has described, over the past couple of years in particular, as it relates to COVID. And not just when you think of social workers, you think of maybe foster care. But as he said, they're in all sorts of avenues in our world that you may not even know it. Angelo, as we look at the pandemic and we see all the numbers, whether it be drug overdose deaths, mental health issues that are being reported, learning loss among kids, are we just now beginning to sort of tip the iceberg, or has this been sort of an avalanche waiting to happen as far as people dealing with all of what's been going on for the last 2 years?
Yeah, it's sort of... I call it sort of pent-up demand. As you mentioned, an avalanche. It's sort of, some of us have been, quietly suffering, quietly struggling, and that's going to need to come out. In some ways, we need a community approach to, this has been difficult for all of us. We've all have experienced anxiety, the uncertainty. It's universal. And so we all have a little bit of healing that we need to do, and we've all have had losses, whether it's direct or indirect, loved ones, family members, not being able to grieve when we've lost people during these times, not being able to, to participate in the normal things like birthdays and weddings and celebrations. So we, as a community, need to heal. And then some of us need more, more healing than others. But our collective mental wellness has been, really put to the test.
As far as mental wellness is concerned, if somebody finds themselves in need of talking to somebody, but they kind of look at their checkbook and say, "Yeah, I can't afford a psychologist or a psychiatrist or a counselor," what kind of suggestion do you have for them?
There's always help that you don't have to pay for, through our public system, and we have very good public mental health systems, public health systems, and we all pay taxes, and so and we pay those taxes, so when we have a collective need, that it's no burden on any of us individually. So we've all been contributing to, say, when other community members need some mental health service, the service is there. I would just really encourage people to call. There's a national suicide prevention line that folks can call. There's a local mental health that folks, but it's just saying, and the other thing, the stigma around mental health, and sometimes people think, well, I don't want to do it because of this and because of that. And just this one thing COVID's taught us is we all need to pay attention to our mental wellness, and, struggles with our mental wellness is something that we all go through. So there's no shame at all in needing to raise your hand and say, "Hey, I need a little bit of help."
And obviously, talking things out is something that is massively beneficial, for us as adults. But even as we look at our young ones, Angelo, and it's hard for me to grasp the perspective by some in this line of thinking that, kids are resilient and they're going to be able to bounce back. And, in many cases we do see stories every day of kids showing resiliency and being able to overcome so much in their life, whether directly or indirectly. But that doesn't mean that kids haven't been suffering and aren't falling behind. All the numbers kind of show it. How do we get certain people to wake up to the fact that, kids are resilient, but they're going through some struggles too?
Yeah, you mentioned resilience and bouncing back, and I think of it as we want our kids to bounce as high as they can bounce, and talking through feelings of fear, anxiety, depression will help them bounce as high as they can go, and and for some kids to bounce, to bounce just a little bit, they need a lot of help, and for some kids to bounce real high, they need just a little bit of help, but just. I mean, we all experience fear, and sometimes, we all try to deny it. I'm not afraid of nothing. I'm a big, tough guy. I'm not afraid of nothing. But we all experience fear, and fear's there for a reason, to keep us alert, to keep us, watchful, to keep us making sure that we're taking all the right precautions. And it's good to talk through the fear and not deny it, because in that you can use that fear to help you. And we've all been afraid of the uncertainty and the anxiety we've been going through.
Angelo McLean is the CEO of the National Association of Social Workers. It is National Social Work Month. And Angelo, one of the bullet points that your people have sent along here as we're talking about kids is talking about the loss of learning that kids have experienced during the pandemic. What can you as a social worker, or what can we do as a nation to kind of combat that?
Some kids have lost a year, year and a half, and really giving kids some space to do some, not necessarily extra assignments, but, some reading for pleasure, doing some activities that are actually learning, but they're sort of fun things as well. Not trying to cram everything, down, they're going to have to pick it up over time. But part of it is making sure that the any mental health concerns they might have or address. And we just have to admit to ourselves that going through a pandemic is traumatic, and it's traumatic on everyone. So we all need to pay attention to that mental wellness. And I always say that, there are many factors to academic success for kids. There are protective factors, and then there are risk factors. And obviously, we've been seeing those risk factors. But, learning is fun. Connecting with the kids and the topics that they really like, and then making it fun and realizing that they'll pick it up over time. And then if some of the kids who are really struggling, who might have been in special education or who might have gotten an IEP to get them into special education, we need to make sure within our school systems that we're taking an eye at that. And that's what social workers in schools, that's part of what they're looking at to see if the kids are getting kind of the right kind of attention that they need.
Angelo McLean, again, is the president of the National Association of Social Workers, trying to, cram, speaking of cramming, put all this into perspective in just a few minutes. And at the end of the day, I guess you have to think to yourself, Angelo, when you look at the greener grass ahead, is that we didn't get into this mess within just an overnight period or a day or a week. It's 2 years of all this pent up frustration and anxiety and stress. So it's going to take a little while to kind of relearn, right, as far as how we can get back into what many of us perceive as quote-unquote normal.
Yeah, and hopefully we can grow together. Hopefully we can heal together, and this will be a time where we, it's kind of a cliche, put aside our differences. For better or worse, we're all part of a global community, and we all were going through COVID at the same time. And so maybe that collective experience that we had, we could help us, pull together. And I'm glad you guys are spending some time on this today, and that your audience is getting a chance to hear some of this and what you guys are talking about. Because, we all need to take, three deep breaths, three steps back. And, for instance, we just, in our Washington, D.C. office, we're returning to work, for the first time in 2 years this week. This is the first week we've been back. And it's like, okay, this is all going to be new. We need to jump in here and do it together and create some space where we can talk about, what it's like.
Angelo, if somebody's interested in doing what you do and helping out kids or their fellow man, what's a good first step? Do they need to get a special education in some particular curriculum, or do they need to join a group here locally, or what do they need to do?
Yeah, I think the first step would be, get through junior high, get through high school, and then begin looking at, as you're thinking about going to college, whether it's at an associate level or a bachelor's level, signing up for some social work classes. And I've been in the field for 40 years. I got into the field, I was on a playing high school football, and I was being recruited. And the last game of our year, my senior year, 15 recruits came in, and they talked to me about coming to their college. Only one of them talked to me about what I might want to major in. And of course, a 17-year-old didn't know what a major was. And I said, I don't know, what's a major. And then I said, well, is there a major for helping people? And they said, that's social work. And I said, well, I'll come to your school. I'll play tight end. and I'll become a social worker. Little did I know at 17 I was making a decision that was going to impact my life for the next 40, 50 years. But the other things, too, is I knew if I became a social worker, it would please my mother. And because she always said, whatever you do with your life, do something that helps other people.
Well, Angelo, you're bigger than most as far as people that have made promises and have stuck with it. And we thank you for all the hard work that you do on a day-to-day basis to make sure that people, and particularly children, are in a good spot in their lives. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you. And the time is right for social work. And just give a shout-out to all the social workers out there and for the terrific work they do day in and day out.
Angelo, before we let you go, is there like a website for you guys just so that people can find out more about what you do and how to get involved?
Yeah, there's a website. It's called Help Starts Here. Help Starts Here. And there's also, you could Google NASW, which stands for the National Association of Social Workers. The NASW website is our website that's mostly geared towards our members, but it's for everybody. And then Help Starts Here is a website that's geared towards the general public, and there's information there that a parent would find useful.
All right, Angelo, we'll put that on our Facebook page and guide people there. We appreciate your time today, all right?
All right. Dave, Joe, appreciate it. Thank you for including us.